CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.
The following business conversation is brought to you by Trudon, the publisher of the Yellow Pages and proud supporter of small business in South Africa.
Into the last few seconds of the game, piling in 2 meters from the line. Ball comes out and it's a massive hit as you realize your wife's been asking you to fix the dripping tap since last weekend. Skips first center, into the half gap, and it's still drip, 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 and here comes your angry wife, buddy.
Address those pressing issues fast. Access yellowpages.co.za from your mobile, tablet, or via the app. Now with free call, bookings, quotations, and detailed maps. Yellow Pages. Local reliable results in an instant.
Leadership Platform, we're running this week from 12 to 2. 12 to 2. And it will always be like that. We just had our hour of a Leadership Masterclass. Lesson on energy, the first half hour. That's a podcast you can download. Leadership is all about energy. You know, your energy affects mine, mine affects yours. And how do you get that energy? Whenever your energy is up, you do better at whatever it is you do, whether it's reading, playing golf, engaging a human being, running a business, doesn't matter. And it requires huge energy to run a small business. That's what our conversation is going to be about the next half hour. All about small, medium business leadership. Last week, Richard Angus is in the studio always, my co-host, the CEO of the finance team. Enactus Winners, Sizwe Sihle Gumede, the president of Enactus University KwaZulu-Natal, and Zanele Nyapa, deputy president. And that's a great podcast to listen to. I mean, those youngsters, they won this competition as young entrepreneurs against 26 other universities, if I'm not mistaken. Great show.
Absolutely brilliant, Adrian. Absolutely brilliant.
I'm fascinated by the practicality of it. It's better than an MBA in some ways.
So
that's a wonderful podcast to download, last week's show. But yeah, this week, I mean, Richard, let's position it. We have a guest on the line. I'll introduce him in a moment. Let's be honest. A lot of small business owners, you know, it starts in different ways. But a lot of people make a choice. I'm in a big corporate. Rat race is incredible. It's eating me alive, and I need to leave. I'm going to start my own thing. So that's one way that people start their small business. Others, I don't know, they just do it. There's different reasons why people start it. But very often you do it in an area that where you have an expertise, in an area that you enjoy, be it consulting or finance or leadership or whatever it may be, or you're a restaurateur, you love food, or and you end up in a difficult position in that, hold on, I'm not just doing what I love. I have to do 10 other things to be able to do the 20% that I love. I have to look at my finances. I have to put admin in place. I have to adhere to labor relations. I have to, and the big one, sell. And I'm not a salesperson. I can't sell. Now, all I have to do is sell. It's a rude awakening for a lot of people that their business thrives on good or bad selling.
Adrian, I think we often use the terminology, you have to get away from working in your business to working on your business. Mm. When you're working in your business, that's that, you know, the thing that you've chosen as your path or the thing that makes you tick. But working on your business requires that wide range of skills and capabilities. And sales is probably right up there at the top. Mm. I'd remind listeners to the comment that I think it was Thamir made a few weeks back in one of our podcasts. He said, you're always selling to somebody somewhere somehow. Mm. You know, if you're not selling, you're being sold to by somebody. So there's always, you know, in any engagement, even in a conversation, you're positioning yourself, you're convincing others. You know, either you're taking credibility or they're giving you credibility, one way or the other, but there's always this interaction.
So, Louis, you've also been around the mill. You were in sales for many years. Is that correct? I mean, in fact, sales just become almost one of it's the lifeblood of your business. If you don't sell, nothing happens, and the thing you love doing doesn't happen.
The danger is we're stuck with labels. You see, you grow up and you learn that selling is negative. In America, it's a very positive thing. So the label part, Arden, is something that can determine your whole mindset. The secret is to find the essence of everything. Then suddenly you find, for instance, like financial management. Look at the essence. It gives you a lot of confidence and peace of mind. Mm. Don't fight it, but look at the essence of these principles. Selling, the essence of selling is just good relationships and meeting the needs of people. So it's got all the positive attributes to it.
Now we're going to tackle the theme very differently. Someone who can teach children how to sell or run their little businesses would probably be in a position to teach us how to do it. Right, Richard? We're getting our guest on the line.
I would make the assumption that if you can convince the children like the ones I have in my home how to engage with a business principle like selling, I think you're pretty good at getting the message across.
So, I mean, we've engaged a gentleman by the name of Werner Janssen van Vieren. Richard, you tell us why. Why do we have him as a guest today?
Okay, so Werner's got a background. He's got a background in the sales environment per se, but the thing that really appeals to me is what he does in terms of his business right now. He has a business or a franchise which is called Young Entrepreneurs, where they're passionate about empowering and teaching children about business and money, ultimately helping them to start and grow their own micro enterprises. Now, I think that's quite an important part of the world today because, as you and I both know, I mean, we're educating children today for jobs that don't actually exist yet. Mm. And if you look at the South African context, the reality is we need more business owners in this country to empower and engage across the spectrum.
Hence the show.
Hence the show. So this plays straight into the space of, okay, so how do you teach a child, or how do you create those entrepreneurs? You know, you don't create them by pushing a button when they're 18 and they leave grade 12 and say, great, now you've done, you know, all these years of schooling, let's push this button and suddenly you'll know how to be an entrepreneur. In fact, most schooling systems are notoriously bad for teaching entrepreneurial behaviors and cultures and thinking. And that was one of the reasons why I was really interested in chatting to Werner about his perspective on how you go about engaging this in children and some of those key elements that you learn. And that need to be learnt at a very early age.
Okay, let's do that and then take it to sales. Werner, welcome to Leadership Platform.
Thank you, guys. Thanks, Richard. Thanks, Arjun. Thanks for hosting me.
So how did you end up in this? I mean, you've...
Oh, wow.
This is where you are. You're teaching kids to become young entrepreneurs, and here we are putting you on the platform to teach us about that and sales. Tell us.
The journey's been really exciting. So I've been in finances the majority of my working career as a certified financial planner initially, and then, you know, also as an advice manager for a private wealth management company. And, you know, I came across this initiative, Young Entrepreneurs, about 6 months ago, and, you know, it basically combined two passions of mine, one being educating people, you know, being part of skills development, and secondly, I'm quite passionate about children. Although I don't have any kids of my own yet, it's a combination. I feel children are the future of this country. They are innocent, they are pure at heart, so I've got a very much a big passion to see how I can help and empower children's lives. So I came across this business, Young Entrepreneurs, met a great gentleman of the name of Donnie Jacobs, who's basically the founder and executive director of Young Entrepreneurs. And, you know, so my journey started in me being, you know, part of this massive change, I want to say, change of mindset that business doesn't happen when you are 18 or 19 or just about to leave school and then think, oh, my word, what am I going to do? Let's give entrepreneurship a go. Because, you know, children are born creative. They are imaginative. And we need to leverage off that. You know, the schooling system is not catering for all the learning styles. It's not. So the children will be labeled as, you know, shame. He's not going to be an accountant or actually one day because he doesn't perform that well in math. But you know what? That child is creative. If you can take him at that age and start exposing him to entrepreneurship, oh, wow. You know, that can be something magical, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to create an awareness that entrepreneurship should also be considered, seriously considered, as a career option one day.
So, Werner, I think one of the things that strikes with me as you say that is I remember seeing a video clip a number of months back. It was one of these TED Talk video clips. and they were talking, and it was the CEO, I can't recall who was the CEO, but he was talking about what makes entrepreneurs great and some of the things, and he was talking about the then and now. And he talked about, you know, at school, you know, he wasn't the brightest of children and really struggled through his schooling career and was basically told, you know, you've got this syndrome and that syndrome and everything else in between.
Very common.
And yet, and I mean, he made the statement, he said, you know, thing of OCD and all these different syndromes that he said, you know, most CEOs suffer from those things because those are the things that make them good CEOs, that they're not, you know, that they're not structured the way, you know, the world would like that structure to be, and they think a little outside of the block.
Yes, exactly. So we just want to take, we want to take that, you know, we just want to take that and channel it into something where a child can use that creativity and, you know, be it all over the show. Just try and take that and guide them towards learning and experiencing this thing called entrepreneurship. And it needs to be fun. This can't be school. It needs to be fun.
No, Vernie, I mean, I guess one of the key things, and to move to what we're focusing on this month, in fact, on the principle of sales. I mean, clearly creating sales capability in anybody, be it a child or be it a startup business environment, is one of the greatest challenges that we face as small businesses. Mm. Now, you've obviously had some experience with the sales environment in the work that you've done and your background, and you've now obviously had to try and engage that in the world of the youth. Mm. So, I mean, we said, you know, perhaps what are the five easy steps to closing a sale? Give us some insights in terms of what your experience is, as maybe just a preface to that, in terms of, you know, what are the impediments to sales closing that you experience and see out there? What are the things that people kind of, where does the I freeze up and just can't get it to happen? What do you see out there?
I think one of the most important points is being able to connect to another human being. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that almost lends itself to, you know, being able to small talk, to engage in small talk. And I know it sounds trivial, being able to small talk, but we need to realize at the end of the day, people actually still do business with people, and they're more likely to do business with people they actually like. And for that to happen, you need to create some sort of common ground. You need to show that you are human. You need to bring that human element into things. So I think just that could be a obstacle for some people trying to jump straight into problem and solution mode versus actually identifying and realizing that, you know, you do business with a person. You need to start trusting that person. You need to start forming a relationship before you can jump into, okay, let's discuss business. So I think that's something that's overlooked sometimes, and I think also that can be done wrong as well, where it doesn't have the intended consequence. I think being able to make a connection with somebody just on a personal level, I think that would probably be my first obstacle or first step that I would look at if I'm engaging in a sales process.
No, one of the things that the moment you say that, immediately comes to mind is our beloved let's sell this through a call center type of approach to life.
Okay. Personalized.
So, yeah, I think, you know, And that's, you know, for me, to, you know, listeners out there, is think very carefully about what you're selling and how you're selling it. And, you know, the bum on seat with a telephone approach, you know, I'm not so sure that does your brand a favor. I'm not sure it gets you the market penetration that you're looking for.
Or the right clients that you're actually looking for.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, I mean, you've played in the, and we have the good old insurance industry as a classic example. But, you know, if I get another phone call to say, hi, it's Miss X from XYZ Broker, my broker would like to come and do an analysis for you, I think I'm actually going to just lose it. So, you know, you understand how people have to prospect, and I do understand that. But, yeah, that relationship and being able to have a conversation and a connection, critical. Yeah.
So, I think also it needs to be genuine. Mm. Because I can pick up even if it is from a call center and now somebody is trying to now create some rapport with me or some common ground, I can actually pick up if it's just insincere, it's actually somebody reading off a script or, you know, not really interested in what I've got to say. So, you know, in me saying small talk is important to terms of being able to start forming a connection, it needs to be genuine as well, because people pick up when it's fake and then when it's just going through the motions. It needs to be genuine. You need to have a general interest in people. It's so easy. Just start asking questions. Have people talk about themselves. That's the easiest way to start. Just start engaging in making a connection. But, be curious. Mm. Start ask questions and listen.
But then, I would think the environment needs to be ready for that. A call center is a really good example. We all get those calls where the really so-called good call center person tries this. Mr. Groenewald, how are you doing? It's a cold day today, isn't it? And really, they can never catch you at a good moment. Yeah. I guess they just go through mass, and if you're honestly ready that day, that's a sifting process. They grab you and they've got you. But call centers, I mean, it's just the worst form of selling, but so many are doing it. So let's say connect is the first point. That's a brilliant one. I agree. Louis, I don't know if you want to add.
Just quickly. We mustn't underestimate Vera's point about the small talk. Now, it isn't as small and frivolous alone, but the warmth, the body language you show, the passion, you know, it does give a message. Ultimately, so very personal, make no mistake about that. So don't underestimate just talking, being friendly.
And associate yourself with something positive. Don't engage in negative. Don't engage in negative issues. Don't talk about the latest Ebola outbreak or the latest plane that crashed. When you're going to start forming a connection, do it in a positive manner so that association with you will always be positive.
I guess unless you're selling life insurance to potential travellers.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, but Verna, I mean, okay, so connection, or you know, getting that connection going. What are some of the other things that you would be looking to do?
Okay, I think once I've got a connection with somebody and they're at a level where they actually want to start engaging with me, you need to come across as a trusted expert. There's no use the person likes you and they think you're a good person, but you might not be, you're not credible in the field or the area that you're operating in. I've had it in so many circumstances and instances where I actually liked, I was pitched to, I was the client, and it was that I liked the product. I liked it, and I knew that it could probably address my problem, my challenge that I have. But because it wasn't delivered by somebody that I thought was an expert, they knew the product, but they weren't really an expert in the field. And that sort of, you know, that makes people sometimes jittery in terms of, you know, the product might be good, but geez, like it, I'm just not feeling it's not fitting comfortably with me to you know, to engage in a transaction with this person. So I guess you need to come across as credible. It means you need to be an expert in your field. And I think a key point here is you need to have passion for what you do, because people will see that passion and they will more easily see you as an expert if you actually have the passion and that's actually visible. I think passion, have the passion. People who's passionate about something, they easier to come across as that trusted expert. And sometimes this has all got to do with perception. But perception in the client's eyes, that's their reality. So even if it's just perception, you need to create the perception that you are the expert, but you also need to be that expert. You won't be able to demonstrate the fact that you're an expert in a meeting or in half an hour all the time. So it's always about, it's sometimes about the perception as well.
Can I quickly come in there? I had a young man sit in front of me. He contacted me. He wants me to mentor him. Great, enthusiastic, a lot of passion. He's a fairly junior employee in a bank, busy studying still, let's say late 20s, and he wants to teach youngsters to become really good entrepreneurs. So we had a long conversation where I was explaining to him, so you want to go sell to the market that you will teach to be a good little entrepreneur, young entrepreneur. And I said to him, you know what, you've got the message and you've got the messenger. Okay, the message must be a very good one. But the messenger must have credibility, and people must, I guess, trust you as an expert. So he can have passion. But I was really saying to him, go on a bit of a journey. I'm willing to walk the journey with you, you know, next to you or behind you, or however you want me to. But understand, you've got a road to go. It's not going to come overnight. So that's the principle, is passionate, and then the messenger.
I think you need to be visible. You need to be out there. Showcase your brand. Showcase your skills, your passion, experience, and on as many platforms as possible. Because the perception, again, is if I drive on the highway and I see a big billboard and it's an attorney's firm and they say they're specialized and there's a face of somebody on the billboard, I think you guys know who I'm talking about, and they say they're specialize in road accident funds. The fact that I drive past that billboard so often, I actually think he is, just from a perception point of view, in terms of these guys know what they're doing. It's the way you communicate your message. I think they do communicate themselves as the trusted expert when it comes to XYZ. But just be on all the platforms and get people to endorse you. That's the easiest way to be trusted, trusted in your field as well as an expert, is get people to endorse you. And keep on upskilling yourself in the field. Don't become stagnant. Keep on upskilling yourself.
Okay. Werner, further to that, what would some of your other steps be? I mean, what else would you look at to make sure that you can close that sale?
I think you need to obviously, there needs to be a challenge or a problem that you can identify, or something that can be done better regarding the prospects or the prospects or the client's situation. So you need to be able to communicate maybe the status quo in terms of what the prospect like currently is experiencing. You need to actually find the problem, just to put it bluntly.
And I think that's often a case of people trying to sell what you don't need.
That's the thing. So if you can't, so people will sometimes jump into solution mode, but why? You haven't even identified the problem yet. There needs to be a problem before I need to either see a dentist or see whichever professional or engage with whichever small business. There needs to be a problem. And I think the trick here sometimes come into play when the prospect doesn't really know that they have that problem. That becomes more tricky. It's easy if I'm a dentist and you're my patient and you've got crooked teeth. There's a problem. Your teeth's crooked. I can fix it. But sometimes it's more subtle than that. Maybe it's a cost-saving exercise that you can put the client, the prospect through, and he doesn't really know that it's a problem. So you need to be able to identify that problem. Otherwise, it's going to be very difficult to match it up with the solution, because otherwise, like you rightly said, it's going to feel like you are now trying to shove your product or your service down somebody's throat without him or her really needing it. So that identifying that there is a problem in their current setup, in their current status quo, is really, really important.
And I think there's an equal element to that, is that you might have to be able to show them that they're about to have a problem that they don't yet know about.
Yes, like Kodak. Ask Kodak. What was their problem those years ago?
Yeah,
exactly. The industry was changing. So, yes, sometimes it's foreseeing a problem coming, although they'll be fine or they'll be okay for now, but it's actually having the knowledge, and that brings it back to being an expert in the field, being an expert in terms of where the industry is going. Very, very right.
So then I guess, I mean, once you've got the problem, obviously then the next step in terms of closing the sale is actually showing that you have a solution, I would imagine.
For sure, exactly. So making sure that you can match up, your solution matches up to the real problem. You know, don't force a solution where it doesn't really address the core of the problem. So that also lends to really understanding the client situation. In whichever circumstance that is, you need to really understand the client situation. So you would have really had to listen very carefully to what their challenges are if you didn't point it out to them, so that you can make sure that the benefits and the features, whatever value add that you are offering, that is actually matching up to that problem. And like I've mentioned, you know, you've got to keep moving with the times. You need to be nimble and not stagnate. You know, you need to be a little bit paranoid about your solutions that you have. You always need to think, how can things change? How can I not be that? How can my solution not address this successfully in a year or two or 3 years to come? So you know, be on the move. Be on the move in terms of from an innovation point of view. Also in terms of you making a client understand that you're the solution, you know, you refer back to clients that had similar problems or situations that you're addressing currently with this client, and, you know, let that prospect actually speak to that client who you know, who had a big challenge and you managed to sort that out. So, you know, get them to endorse you
so,
as well for that matter.
So a track record of success and
reference for that matter. Have a book of success stories of clients that you successfully engage in. They had problems. You came up with a solution, and you know whatever the benefit of that is, you know, more out 10% more output or cost savings of X%. Just have a book where you can refer to, because it makes it more tangible. Yeah. Then you don't feel like a guinea pig when you are engaging with that person. You can see that they've got a track record, they've got a record of sorting problems out. That also gives that perception of peace of mind, that, listen, you know what you're doing, you've done it before.
Vanden, let's anything else? Because the last question I want us to address is, there are too many small business owners out there who really have this breakthrough they must make. They don't like selling. They would rather, I don't know, soft sell. They would rather do lots of other things and create the greatest website and do many things in the background, but actually not sell.
Okay.
So there are barriers there. It's a problem for many of them, and in the end, their business can be very successful if they can overcome this perception, this negative perception about selling. So before we get there, any final points you would put or add to making sure you can close a sale, and then all of us can give our views on that one. How do we help that person make that breakthrough? Anything else?
No, I want to add to what I've said just now, but it's in terms of that, no, if you guys want to add before we go to how do you make that breakthrough.
Okay. So gentlemen, I think that's a good list. Very quickly, connect. Come across as a trusted expert, and passion will help a great deal, and be everywhere on lots of platforms. Position yourself as an expert. Identify a challenge or problem you can contribute towards. That's the identification process. Matching a solution as effectively as you can. Tell me if I'm missing anything. Track record of success to refer a prospect to. That's also another way to ensure closing a deal. Anything else you want to add, Louis?
Just one quick thought. This concept of entrepreneurship is not just the traditional one that you want to start an innovative business. It's essential to the core of all business, of all leaders, in fact, in all jobs out there. So these are vital universal principles we discussed this morning, Vanna. We appreciate that.
Yeah, this is not just a small business owner, but we're doing it in that context. All right, Vanna, you kick off, and then each of us, give us our view. There's a small business owner out there listening saying, I hate sales. I wish I didn't have to do that. How do we help them see it differently, if possible?
See, I think it boils down to believing in what you do. I think it boils down to believing in what you do and just pulling the trigger. If you've identified a problem with a, if you know that certain clients that looks like X have this kind of problem, and you know that you've got the solution, just believe in it and pull the trigger and be confident, not arrogant, but be confident in your ability with your service or your product to actually address the needs that they have. So I would say, just, you know, once you've identified that, listen, you are the solution, have that confidence to actually be, just pull the trigger, go in for the kill. I mean, this is not you being, you know, trying to force something down somebody's throat. If you know that you have a very good solution to problems, just do it. Be confident about it and pull the trigger. Go for the sale.
Richard?
So maybe there the fundamental issue is effectively have a good call to action, because I think most sales guys, you know, the kind of the falter line is always, I can do this, I don't like doing this, maybe I should do this, I have to do this for my business, and then it's, I'm now in front of the client, I'm that seasoned expert, I know what I'm doing, I can talk you to that point of, you know, this is the solution and this is how I deliver it.
Yeah.
And then, thanks very much for the meeting. I'll chat to you next week. Ask for the business.
It's a typical
ask
case
for the order.
And ask for what are the concerns that you have.
Yeah.
What's still the concern? Because if you just ask for the concerns, because there might still be a concern, but the client is hesitant to raise it because it might point out that he doesn't understand the concept entirely. So ask what the concerns are and address those concerns, because once you've had the client raise those concerns and you can position again how the solution is, your solution addresses it, then it will lead them to a point where they feel comfortable. But while there's that niggling feeling of they're worried about something, they're not sure about this or that, they will not engage in a sale. So make sure you ask what the concerns are so that you can address it and then lead the client into, well, great, this will work for you. This is the solution. All your concerns are addressed. Let's do it.
Werner Janssen from Furen, thank you so much. From Young Entrepreneurs, I think simple essence stuff. Very good. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate
it. Excellent. Thanks so much for the time, guys.
Thanks,
Werner.
Right,
all the best.
Thank you. Bye.
So if that's your biggest barrier, Louis, I don't know if you have any 10-second advice, but forget about selling. It really is about helping, but if you believe in your product and you're passionate about it, I know a lot of people, though, that say, I still hate selling. I love what I do. I have a solution, but I don't want to sell. Well, there's still that barrier. It's not about selling. Forget about selling. It's about connecting with someone and trying to really help them.
I was going to say, for me, the actual barrier is not about the sale. It's about the connection with others. Yeah. People struggle there.
And you fail in business because you're too scared to ask for business, ask for your money, ask for this. You've got to be a good asker.
Ask for the order.
That's it. That's our small, medium business leadership conversation. This was brought to you by Trudon. Visit trudonhome.co.za for all your small business marketing needs. Trudon, it's our business to know your business.
This putt for birdie and to take the trophy as the new champion. And you still haven't booked that jumping castle for your daughter's birthday tomorrow. 15 yards from the hole should break from left to right. And just imagine the disappointment as your daughter realizes you've let her down in spectacular fashion.
Address those pressing issues fast. Access yellowpages.co.za from your mobile, tablet or via the app. Now with free call, bookings, quotations and detailed maps. Yellow Pages. Local reliable results in an instant.
Cliffcentral.com